People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.
You mentioned you might have credit cards.
So I have $7,000. Ugh, I didn't like saying that out loud, but I did. And because I really just look at it and I'm like, I know I shouldn't have had that, but I did. And life circumstances and things like that.
Hello, and welcome to Financials Podcast, Future Rich. I'm your host, Barbara Ginty, and I am here with my guest today, Megan. Hi, Megan.
Hi.
Thanks for joining us.
Of course, I'm excited.
All right, well, tell our listeners a little bit about yourself. So age, location, income, all that jazz.
All right, my name is Megan, and I live in Wyoming, and I work in a hospital. And prior to working in a hospital, was working seasonal jobs back and forth, and then my husband is a first responder and has a construction company. So he is still working seasonal jobs. And yeah, I just figured, you know, as I had been working seasonal jobs and odd jobs here and there, and now finally have, you know, salary, 401k, 403b, all of these other numbers that are confusing, that this would be a great space to put it all out there and see what we can figure out.
Amazing. And then how old are you and your husband?
We are 35 and 33.
Are you 33 and he's 35?
Yes.
Okay. You never know. It could be swapped.
Yes.
You know. Okay, perfect. So this is your first time having a job with benefits.
Yes, I had one before I went back to school, but that was hourly. And then it was into COVID, where then my husband lost his job for an extended period of time and then didn't go back to work. And then I went right into grad school. So that whole time feels like a financial blur, because then all of a sudden I was kind of the sole income for a moment.
Oh, okay.
So yes.
And then how long was grad school? Was that 2 years?
3 years.
Oh, wow. Okay. Amazing. And how long have you and your husband been married?
We have been married for 6 years.
And do you have any children?
We do not.
Perfect. Okay. Do you want to, we could start with, maybe what we should do is start with income and expenses, and then go through what you have for savings and debt. And then we can kind of go through from there what you're looking to do.
Okay. And that is the part where I'm terrible at, because things are just kind of sporadically written down and like auto paid. So I tried to go through some of that, but I think as I have been reflecting on all of this, I get very nervous about all the numbers and messing up numbers, as numbers were not my academic strong suit. So it instantly makes me feel nervous. But my take home from work every 2 weeks is $1,888.
Okay, great. Yeah, no need to be nervous. We'll work through all of the numbers.
I have no car payment that is paid off. I have about $2,000 in an emergency fund, and then I have $4,000 that is in a CD at a bank. And then and this is where it needs to get like a little bit organized, because I pay for our electric, which is about $90 a month. But then groceries, that was like $350 every 2 weeks.
Okay.
And those were like the main expenses that were consistent.
Okay. You went through and looked at everything.
And then for our house payment, we have it kind of split up and I pay $1,000 every month.
Okay. And do you own your house?
We own our house. Yes. So that was recent in the last year.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. And then, what was that?
Okay. We'll come back to that. So you bought a house last year. Okay. And then it sounds like you're doing your finances separate. Is that right?
We do them separate. And that is another kind of like question of figuring out how to collectively learn how to merge them. And I think that it just is one of those that it doesn't have to be separate, but it's just always worked separate. And then I just have I have some credit card debt that I've just held on to and it hasn't really plummeted down where I want to pay it, but I pay it every month, but I just want to really be okay, I'm doing it and tackle it. And then my husband has his finances are slightly chaotic and to me that scares me. So I think that's one of those elements where we're I want to figure mine out and then have a plan and then come in with this is a great plan. Because since he owns a construction company, it feels like there's ways to also be mindful of how he is utilizing his money when it comes to taxes and all of those elements.
And to just give me a ballpark, so what do you know about what he makes a year? And I know so he has a construction company, which I would imagine in Wyoming is a summer gig because of weather. Okay.
Yes.
And then he is a first, he does something else than he works seasonally in the winter.
He does seasonal winter work. Yes. So his take home is around 90,000 usually, but again, as he's taken ownership of the business, then he fluctuates more so as his pay. So I definitely feel like at times I'm the one that has the most consistent income.
Consistent, right? Because yours is payroll driven, right? Yeah. So if he owns a business and it's seasonal, then I would imagine his income is variable.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So sometimes he has a good month, sometimes he has a bad month, right? Yes. And I'm sure ramping up into summer, it depends on weather when they would start. Mm-hmm. Living in a state nearby to Wyoming, right? It's all seasonal work is weather dependent. Okay, so his take home is about 90,000. What is you told me your take home is 1,888 every 2 weeks. What's your gross? Do you know?
My salary is at 69 right now because the hospital adjusted for inflation. So that kind of just kicked in June. And then it'll also increase once I take another exam and get another certification, which I'm planning on taking in the next year. So then it'll
bump. Okay.
About 10,000.
Perfect. That's good to know that. Okay. But right now we're just, which is fine. It's everyone does it differently, but right now we're keeping it separate. So you're, when you get bumped up, you'll be much closer in take home because then you'll be at 79 and he'll be at 90.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. So your take home is 1,888 every 2 weeks. And then you're paying 90 a month for electric. And then if we just average it out, you're paying about 700 a month for groceries and then $1,000 for the mortgage. And you don't have a car payment. Do you have car insurance or does that get paid?
I have car insurance. And that's the other thing. Somehow I still have my car insurance on a pro deal from when I worked in the outdoor industry full time. And so I just keep riding that out. So I actually have 3 vehicles on my car insurance because I have 2 of the vehicles that my husband uses for work that were originally not landscaping construction vehicles. And so now that is a piece where I'm like, well, I shouldn't be paying that. But because him and his partner are doing some splitting and changing, he doesn't want to abruptly move how things are taken care of. But anyways, I pay about $250 every 3 months for car insurance.
$250 every 3 months.
Yes.
Okay, for car insurance.
And
So you're paying about $1,000 a year. So we just make that a monthly expense. Gosh, my brain today. Let's get my calculator up. Under $100 a month, but we'll give you the firm number. So $250 every 3 months, so for the year, you're paying $1,000. So if we do that monthly, it's $83 for car insurance. Okay. But yours would be lower if you didn't have the other vehicles.
Yeah, mine would be way lower.
And that's with the discount, because I will say car insurance is one of the areas that has really gone up with inflation.
It's with some type of discount, and I just haven't changed something on it. And I just keep paying it, and it's
Yeah, that's good. Great. Don't let them know. Just keep the discount. Okay, so then you have car insurance for, we'll just say $83 a month, and then any other regular monthly spending that you saw when you went through everything?
That part is, I started to look through it, and that's where I was like, wow, I'm not very organized, because then I'll be like, oh, I should just babysit a lot and like make more money and then go do something. And then I need to be better at utilizing odd job money to like pay for that, because I can be very driven of like, oh, I can go do this thing and make, you know, $600 in a weekend working. And then I'll, like, that will pay for like this other thing, versus like, I should use that to pay for debt and budget it down. Which I think, as I'm now salaried, it's a different experience than when I wasn't, because I was much better at trying to allocate things out. And then somehow through school, I just must have blacked out. And now I was like, I have to take care of this.
Well, so you mentioned, so you're doing still some side hustle work.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, okay, great. So, all right, we'll come back to that, because that maybe we can use that to help with the debt. So then your regular recurring expenses, is there anything else besides the growth? I mean, I would assume you have gas too.
So I have gas, yes. And that would be probably about $47 every like week and a half or so.
Okay. So even if we said like maybe 200 for the month for gas, yes, just to overshoot that a little bit. So then we're at 9,700 plus 1,000 for the mortgage, plus the car insurance, or for gas and then car insurance. That comes to 2,073 for the month.
Okay.
And if we annualize, so you have 26 pay periods, we times 26, we annualize your paycheck. It's around 4,000 a month, technically, that you're bringing home. And now, are you in a work retirement plan and you do health insurance, I would imagine?
So I have all of the health insurance for my husband and I. Okay. Oh, I also wrote down on here, see this, I'm all over the place. I got my student loans, which I get from the hospital I'm at. They pay $100 a month towards.
And oh, amazing.
I pay $338.80 each month.
Okay.
So total I'm paying,
cause you're paying $380.88.
Yes. Right? $338.80.
And 80 cents. Whoops, I added too many eights in there. Okay, $338.80. Perfect. And they're giving you 100. That's fantastic. Okay, so then let's just round up. Does it feel like you have anything left over monthly or no?
It feels like I can, and then that's because I think I go into panic and then I just pick up some more babysitting. I'm in a situation where I have a family that will take like whatever hours I can give them type thing.
Okay.
So if I like put my head down and I'm off work 3 days in a row, I can like work all my days off and make, you know, I can make like $600, $700 if I need.
Is that cash?
Yes.
Wow. Okay. That's fantastic.
Yes.
Okay. Perfect. So in terms of expenses, is there anything else I should know from like a monthly standpoint? So we have electric, groceries, mortgage, car, for gas for the car, car insurance, and student loan payment.
Then the only other thing, which I've heard you talk about on your podcast before, so I wrote that down, is life insurance and going through that. So it's currently $200 a month. And it is a whole life legacy 360, which then I was researching more, because then, you know, sometimes I just like to like push some buttons and ask. So I called the guy and I was like, hey, tell me more about this. And then was talking all about like the benefits of retirement. But then I know that you've talked about how like that's not the best way to do it at all. So then got like very defensive of me asking about it, which then fired me up more a little bit. So
as it should, because $200 a month is a lot for what's the death benefit on that?
Well, that's the thing. I don't really know how to read all of this, and now I'm hyper fixated on figuring all of this out. So I can try to find that on here. What would it be under?
It should say death benefit or face value.
Estimate death benefit is 502,17197.41.
Okay, so it's $500,000.
Yes.
And you're paying $200 a month.
Yes. So that's what I was like, wait a second. And then I also have life insurance through the through the hospital that I work at. So that's why I was trying to figure out, like, I probably don't need, like, I don't know what to do with all that. This one I got when I was like 22 years old, because I also have retirement through this, where I have like $30,000 through this company for retirement.
Same company. Okay.
Ready?
Yep.
So that's,
Did you ask your new friend about having a term policy? And did he, I'm sure he told you this is a great vehicle for retirement. Is that kind of?
Yes. And then I was like, well, why? Because there's also a lot of research and pieces that say it's not, because by the time you're in retirement.
And you said this?
I said this, yes, because I was feeling a little fired up. And then I was like, well, because also I was like, if it's term and I'm where I need to be at the end of my life, then I shouldn't be paying that. And if I die after 60, like, so long for while I've lived life, and hopefully like we have things figured out. But that's why I was like, I need to go through.
First of all, I love that you called up the insurance broker. Like, why did you sell me this product? Because my plan is at 60 not to need insurance. So I'm glad that this goes till 95, but I don't feel like I need that at 95.
Yes. So that's why I was like, I don't know the right terms to ask, because then it became a little bit like defensive on it, where then I was like, oh, now I need to know more to have more in here. Because, you know, my ADHD brain that panics over money also fixated on figuring this all out. So I've went as far as putting a red dot on my wallet, so I have to stop and think about what I'm actually doing. And, you know, that was a part of it. Then I started really researching, and I was like, I don't know how to like be like, I think you're like definitely selling something, but I don't think I need what you're selling me.
That's a great thing to recognize, that the person you're talking to is there to sell you something, right? They're not there to advocate for you. They're there to sell you a product. And that's a very big difference than working with somebody who's a fiduciary versus a salesperson. And so you're correct. He's selling you a product, and that might not be a product that you need. And I'm going to take just a guess here, which is our beginning of our conversation, that you probably don't need that. We could probably get you the same amount, or you could get yourself the same amount of insurance for a lot less money. And then you could take that money and we could do something different, like more in retirement or more towards the credit cards or more towards the student loans. Because I think the hard part about this stage of life is you just went to graduate school, so you have student loans. You said you just bought a house last year. We want to, I'm presumed, save for retirement. So we have to make your dollars stretch as far as they can go, which means we need to be super efficient with where we're putting your dollars. And whole life is not efficient from that standpoint, right? It's not going to stretch your dollars and make them go as far as all the things that we want to accomplish in this period of time in life. So let me just see if I can tell you just to give you a reference point for like what term insurance would run versus $200 a month towards, let's see if I can probably not pull this up very quickly, but let's see. But to give you perspective, I'm a big fan of term insurance because it allows you to have a good amount of insurance for a set period of time for a low cost, right? And so if it's low cost, we can do something different with the monies that we have left over. And so for instance, and this is a 30-year-old, this is an example. So just for reference point, a hypothetical, and it wouldn't be exactly this, but it should be in the ballpark. But for $500,000 for a 30-year-old female, you could get $500,000 of coverage for around $35 a month.
Okay.
So that would save you a lot of money there.
Okay. And then I guess the question, because after that I really distracted myself with this conversation as they were sharing how the benefits of it from mm-hmm. it really made me think of how when I worked at Lululemon, you had to educate the person to try to give them their best choice of like what pants they wanted. But thinking like the education that they were giving me was like, well, then when you retire, you have this untaxed money to pull mm-hmm. out of, which mm-hmm. also then I didn't quite get how all of that worked.
And you get to borrow the money that you've saved on tax. But the other thing we could do is we could just put the difference in a Roth IRA. And instead of borrowing your money against your death benefit, you could just take the money and it would also be tax-free.
Okay. Okay.
But they got to tell you it does something. They can't just be like, it pays me a lot of money. That's the benefit really to me for whole life. The person who makes out the best with the whole life insurance is the person who sold it to you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's who gets the most money, in my opinion. Like, that's who has the biggest benefit.
Yes.
Because you could spend, in theory, around $35 and still get the same amount of money should you pass away. And I'm a believer that if we do everything right and we save for retirement, you don't need a life insurance policy at 70. You should have assets at 70. And as you said, at 70, there isn't really a financial need, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or a financial tragedy. Hopefully not. At 70, there's not a financial tragedy. It's a personal tragedy for your friends and your family and your husband, but it shouldn't be a financial tragedy. It's usually a financial, like right now, I'm presuming you're splitting the mortgage, right?
Yeah.
And how much is the mortgage?
Our mortgage is, $3,500.
Okay. And do you know what you have left on the mortgage? Like, do you know what the balance is?
I don't know what the balance is off the top of my head. I'm guessing a large sum since we've only been paying for it for a year.
Right. So if anything happened to you or your husband now, you want to have life insurance so that the mortgage could get paid off, mm-hmm. that there'd be money, right? Because you'd be losing that income. And while right now there's about $20,000 between you and your husband, what you're taking home, next year there'll be about $10,000. And so there's pretty comparable salaries. And so if you lost, if something happened to you or something happened to your husband, it would be very hard to keep the same lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why the insurance is definitely important. But I think that you could do a term policy. Your husband could do a term policy and you don't need to have the whole life. The person who sold you the insurance person isn't going to say that.
Yeah.
Because they don't make very much money selling term, which is why they sell whole.
Okay.
If you think about it from a commission structure. So you said you worked at Lululemon. So I would imagine, I don't know if it was a flat commission. Maybe you didn't do commission. But if you've ever had a commission job, there are products where you get paid a lot and there's products where you get paid a little. So obviously human nature is to sell the products where you get paid more, right? Because everybody wants to be paid. And so you don't make as much selling term as an insurance broker or a salesperson as you would be making or selling whole life.
Okay.
So human nature would be to sell the product where you make the most money.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. So that's another monthly cost you have at $200 a month for the whole life. Okay. So then I have everything added up. So it's almost your expenses with all of that come to, with student loans, the life insurance, it comes to just about $3,000 a month, and you're bringing home $4,000.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.
Taking care of your health isn't always easy, but it should at least be simple. That's why for the last 3 years, I've been drinking AG1 every day with no exceptions. It's just one scoop mixed in water once a day, every day, and it makes me feel ready to take on my day. That's because each serving of AG1 delivers my daily dose of vitamins, minerals, pre and probiotics, and more. It's a powerful, healthy habit that's also powerfully simple. With AG1, I know I'm getting essential brain, gut, and immune health support with vitamins, probiotics, and nutrients from Whole Foods. I like to think of it as my nutritional insurance. I know I'm covering my nutritional bases from the very start of the day. If there's one product I had to recommend to elevate your health, it's AG1, and that's why I've partnered with them for so long. So if you want to take ownership of your health, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase exclusively at drinkag1.com/futurerich. That's drinkag1.com/futurerich. Check it out.
Yes. Yes. So that is, and then I've tried to just really stop buying random stuff, because then I'll just buy stuff when I'm bored, you know, or be like, oh my gosh, I should get that. And I've stopped. And then, another monthly expense that I wrote down was Nuuly. I did Nuuly for clothes, which work well as a professional, and it kind of gets my fix of online browsing and looking at things. Yep. And then I return it. So I think like the cost of that is like $105 or something a month, which definitely I was like, well, I would spend that if I stopped at like Target or something.
And, right. Yeah. Dangerous.
Yes.
Okay. So yeah. So you have about a gap of $1,000, give or take. So let's talk about what you're saving and what your debt is, and then we can see what we could rejigger. And then with the side hustle, mm-hmm. we could see how we could use that to help kind of move the needle.
Okay.
Does that work?
Yeah.
Okay. So you said you just started working, I don't want to say corporate America because you're working in healthcare, but what do you save through work, through your work plan?
So for work, I have a 457B.
Okay.
And then I have, hold on. Then I have a 403B that's at 4%. And I don't really know what any of that means. But I
put
my pay stub and everything, because again, I looked at all the numbers and I started sweating and getting a somatic response. So.
Okay. So you're doing 4% into your 403B.
Yes. And then I'm doing, then I have a 401A.
Okay.
Which that I couldn't see what I was putting away from, but I wrote down how much was in all of those accounts.
Perfect. Let's do that.
Okay. Because I think I don't even have the vocabulary to like ask and learn more about these certain accounts to like figure out the next step. But the 475B, I have $6,600. Okay. The 401A, I have $5,559.
Okay.
And then the 403B, I have $3,087. And then I have a 401K from my old job that's at $12,370. And so they all combined. So when I like sign into my retirement plan, then that one shows $27,617. And then I have a retirement plan that I started when I was 18, that one has $30,000 in it.
Fantastic. Now, what type of retirement plan that was that a Roth or is that a traditional?
The one that is that I started. Mm-hmm. That one I think is a Roth, and I have to check. All I remember is being very upset that my dad thought I should start putting away money at that point. But
I think that's great that you started at 18.
So I need to check, because that one's I try to put $100 into it a month. Just
okay. So you're still funding that one?
Yes.
Okay.
See, as I'm talking, I'm vocalizing things and I'm like, oh yeah, I do that and I do that. And then my brain is like, I can't talk about this because now I feel like I am the most disorganized person ever.
It's okay. Money is intimidating. They don't teach us in school. So I think it's good practice to sit down and kind of talk through everything, and then we'll come up with a plan. So overall, between your retirement that you started on your own at 18, that your parents, I think that's great, told you to do, and then what you've saved on your own from a past employer and your current employer. So you have almost, you have 57,000 in change, almost 60,000 saved in retirement.
Yes.
Fantastic. And are you, so we just don't know what you're contributing, but the 457, the 403B, and the 401A are all in your current employer, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And you, how long have you been with them?
In June, it was 1 year.
Okay. So all of this has been saved in 1 year, because this is quite a bit of money. You saved about $15,000 in 1 year.
Yes.
That's a lot.
Yeah, I figured just max that out because I wasn't used to a regular income coming in. So
yeah, that's great. Because if you think about it, I mean, you'd save 50% of what you've been saving at 18, right? The other account's at 30 and you did that in 1 year. So to give you perspective.
Oh, I think I have the exact amounts on my pay stub, I think, right here.
Oh, perfect. Okay, so let's see what,
okay, what so those are. So I have what gets pulled out for my medical, so Blue
okay.
Cross.
Yep.
So current, it says 640.
Perfect, and that's the family plan, because that's you and your husband.
That's me, yep. And then I have dental, and that's okay. $39. And then okay. Life insurance part one, $1.73.
Okay.
Short-term disability, $4.
Okay.
LDNXNTX, $12. Okay. 403 match, $114.
Okay.
GRA, 6%, $171. And then I guess I have a parking transportation fee. That's $7.
Oh.
Maybe it's
got a lot of things.
Maybe it's for the parking garage.
It must be for the parking garage. Okay, so you're getting a match, which has probably helped with the contributions. The fact that you've done $15,000. So I would leave all the benefits alone. I think okay. that the fact that you were able to save roughly $15,000 in a year is fantastic. So then, and I think you have a good amount saved. So you're 33. So we'll just round up and say it's $60,000 for round number's sake. And so then just to give you perspective, at 43, that would be if nothing, and it'll be more because you're adding, but if you just were using 7.2% compounding of interest, at 43, you'd have $120,000 saved. At 53, you'd have $240,000. And then at 63, you would have $480,000. And then if you did it one more time till 73, you'd have close to $1 million. Now you'll be adding to this. And I think $1 million is a good number to target, because $1 million, if you pull 4% out of it, you would pull $40,000 out a year. And then plus you're going to be getting Social Security. And so then that combined amount, let's say your Social Security, people don't realize it, but your Social Security could be somewhere between $30,000 and $40,000 a year. And then if you have $40,000 a year coming in from your investments, that gets you to 80. Now that's about where you are right now for income. And we'd have to take into account cost of living adjustments and inflation and so forth. But as a good ballpark starting point, I think that's good. Okay. Now that number will be way better, because if you continue to save as you are with your work plan, it'll continue to increase. It'll be way better than the numbers I just told you, but just for like benchmarking purposes to see how much money grows. I think you're in a good spot from the retirement standpoint. So let's talk about what you have in terms of debt. You mentioned you might have credit cards.
So I have $7,000. Ugh, I didn't like saying that out loud, but I did. And because I really just look at it and I'm like, I know I shouldn't have had that, but I did, and life circumstances and things like that. But I definitely like, I don't think I've put any like extravagant things on it. It's just like day to day life. And I was looking back through it, like even as far as like someone blew a red light and hit me and we didn't take the insurance money and we used that money to go on a trip, where I was like, cool, we'll use that money, because that was like a free $5,000. So like I probably could have paid my credit card with that, but like I was like, eh, nah. So, you know, owning those things. But I definitely like went back and looked, and I was like, okay, there's like a couple like random things. I've gotten hit with some like bachelorette parties, which that.
Oh, I was just reading an article about, I think it was on, I forget what, who published it, but they were publishing just about like how expensive it is to be in a wedding.
Yes. And I did get like my maid of honor dress on sale like last fall. And then like, in the grand scheme of things, it wasn't the most expensive bachelorette party, but then those things were like, you get the Airbnb and then you're like, oh, now I have like $2,000 sitting on my credit card extra that like wasn't there.
Yeah.
Like, those little things. So yes. So I want to take care of that. And I think just looking at like the best way to take care of that, because then obviously once I pay that, I can just keep putting more money into retirement. Because I think unless if I have kids, then like I'll refigure things out. But if I don't have children, then I'll just keep side hustling for a long time, because what else am I going to be doing, you know? And I can only
okay, perfect.
So long.
I mean, I love a good side hustle. As you heard on the show, I'm like very, I think if you're willing to do it, I think it can really help change your financial trajectory. And I agree. I'm of the same mindset of like, if I have free time, I would prefer to make money. I do think that like, if you're making money, then you're not spending money. So it's kind of a double benefit.
Too. And then sometimes when I'm with like other like adults or kids that have neurodivergent brains, like they don't want to be in a store long. So like you can't browse and look at something, like you're in and out of there. And I'm like, right. Now so it's a budgeting bubble.
Yeah. So it works out nicely because you're like making money and then not spending it because you're in a budgeting bubble. Okay. So $7,000 on credit card debt. And then what do you have for your student loans?
My student loans, I looked that up and I have $27,805 left. However, because of the hospital system I work in, and it's a public, it can go to public loan forgiveness, which I have no idea how any of that all works. But I think you have to work there for 10 years, but I don't know if you get
that is back correct.
It's gone.
No, so it's just gone. So, but the thing that's tricky is, so you've been there a year. So have you gotten credit for this past year for public loan for the public loan forgiveness program?
I signed up for it, but I don't really know, like that was on my list after talking to you, since I'm a new fixation is figuring all this out, to make sure I'm signed up. So hopefully.
Yeah. So actually the way it works is you have to first enroll, or not first, but you need to be enrolled in one of the income-based repayment programs.
Okay.
But you're married. And so often, and this is not tax advice, but just you might need tax advice on this, is oftentimes when you're married, you need to be doing married filing separate, because they need to be just looking at your income, not household income, to determine what would be your income-based repayment amount. And so you might want to just verify that the $338 that you're paying is the right amount that it would be forgiven. So maybe it would be lower, like maybe based on just your income, maybe it would be $150.
Yeah, because my coworker pays like $80 a month, but she's single. And so she was like, you probably got dinged because you're married.
That is exactly what happened, is you got dinged because you're married. So oftentimes when you're on an income-based repayment program, you are doing married filing separate so that your income is separated, so that they base it just on your income. Now, I think in your instance, because it's $27,000, I would almost want to see like an analysis, and you're getting $100 from the university, is like, would you just get it paid off in 5 years and be done?
That's what I was going to ask, and I starred that question because I wasn't sure the best way to handle like student loan debt. Like obviously it'd be great if it was forgiven, but if it's like building all of this interest and then all of a sudden like never, I just wasn't sure if that's like something, once I take care of credit card debt, I'm like, okay, let's just funnel it that way. And as my husband said, like the price point of my education, which will make money, is, you know, less than ultimately like a truck or something, or an SUV.
Yeah. So like
how to figure that out, to just.
For 3 years of education to have, you know, a high earning job. I agree. It was a good investment. You know, you never know when you ask about student loans, if someone's going to say, you know, 27 is reasonable. You know, sometimes you hear, as I'm sure you've heard on the podcast, people say like 150,000, 180,000, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's relatively speaking, not that much. And so quick math, you probably could get it paid off in 6 years just with your current payment, give or take, depending on where your interest is, maybe six and a half. So I think it would come down to what I would be curious in order to make the decision. What I would want to know is, what would the payment be on the income-based repayment? Like if it was just your income, what would that number be? And if it's substantially lower, like $50 a month, $80 a month, then maybe you'd be better off doing that and just trucking along. Do you think, I know you're only a year in, but do you think you would stay there for 10 years? Because that's the other factor, right?
I
Like if
think
you leave.
the hospital that I work at has really good benefits and sustainability. And the way to like intertwine where you're working, or like, I just like the flexibility that allows, and you can still keep all of the benefits even if you move down to part time.
Oh, that's very nice.
I would stay there because also financially it makes sense since my husband does not hold any insurance. And that was something we
Okay.
lived and
Strategically,
learned
yeah.
by having to pay a fine on taxes when we like lost insurance somehow during COVID and then didn't have insurance. But you know, we
Yes,
figured
you
that
have
out. That was
figured that
cool. I
out.
didn't know that happened, but then the guy was like, "Hey, so you owe all this money, you know?"
Oh, it's fun being an adult, right? You get
Yeah,
over and
you know, I was like,
especially with finance. No one teaches you. You like kind of figure it out by like what I would say, like bumping into the furniture. You like find out there's a fine by like getting the fine. To give you perspective, if this is a big difference, so, and this is where sometimes the math would drive you one direction, but I would also say this is like preference as well of, so if you continue paying 3.38 80 cents over the next 10 years, it's $40,656. So you will be done in advance of 10 years. But well, so let's say you did that, you paid 338. We'll just say it's gonna be let's say it's around 60, let's say it's 72 months. You're gonna do that, you'll get done in 6 years. That would be you'd end up paying 24,336, and then the benefit from the other, the interest and everything else would be from the other $100 the company's giving you. And if you only did $80 a month, so is this colleague with a comparable salary as you?
Yeah, we're the same because we're
Okay, so then yours should be $80 a month. You got dinged for married filing joint.
love that. Cool.
Yeah, so we have to look into that. So if you paid $80 a month, you would have to pay the whole 10 years, right? Because you're not paying what you owe, you're just paying based on income, and it would go up as you make more money with the hospital. But to give you perspective, $80 a month times 120 payments, which is 10 years, you'd pay 9,600. So you would save about 10,000 ish, maybe 12,000.
Because with student loans, is there like, if you're somewhere where there is that forgiveness option, like that's the thing that it's kind of like, oh, do I just like try to pay this thing off, or I try to pay the least amount and then just get it forgiven?
Think in your instance, if you're comfortable staying there, you also will have to do married filing separate for the entire 10 years. Married filing separate isn't the nicest tax bracket, I will say. So your husband's getting more of the benefit at the moment. So I do think that to give you perspective, married filing separate, and then let's see if this is going to affect your, what else this will affect. I'm just pulling up a tax cheat sheet. I wanted to see one other thing. So, okay, so married filing separate, you are going to end up paying a little bit more in tax that way versus married filing joint. I believe 122, let's see, 112%. Because at 47,000, you jump to the 22% federal bracket versus 94,000 married filing joint. You hit the 22% bracket. So you hit the, you know, married filing separate, you hit the 22% bracket earlier. But I do think from the student loan standpoint, it's going to be better for you. And then married filing jointly. Oh, man. It also, for the Roth IRA, it really, I don't, people don't realize this, but for married filing separate, you have a different modified adjusted gross income phase out, meaning your phase out for married filing separate is $10,000. So basically, they prohibit you from doing a Roth IRA when you're doing married filing separate.
Okay.
So you can do a Roth IRA now because you're married filing joint. So there's a lot of factors at play with this. This is actually more complicated than it probably should
Someone
be.
write this down, ask an accountant, which is someone
I would ask,
that I've just found to also talk to.
yes, so I'm sorry, but I would ask an accountant about the married filing separate, like what your tax return would have looked like if you did married filing separate. And then I think I would let the numbers drive it because it sounds like the other investment account you have is a Roth. And so you're putting money into that and you wouldn't be eligible for that with married filing separate. You can confirm that with the accountant, but I believe you wouldn't be eligible for the Roth IRA
Okay.
because the modified adjusted gross income limits are different for married filing separate versus married filing joint. And then I would see, like, if you are as a household going to end up paying more in tax, how much are you going to be saving? Versus you can't do the Roth and you're going to potentially owe more as a household, right? So I would talk to an accountant and see what they say, but it does seem like it would save you monthly. I wish it was more clear cut. 338
You're telling me,
would save you like it would save you the $258 a month, but here's another way to look at it. And I do really like the public loan forgiveness program. And I think I like it the most when it's a bigger number, I guess, is
yeah.
what I would say, right?
Okay,
Because
and
like,
that's what I was kind of wondering because I don't have any undergrad debt, and
right.
then I was able to not have that much coming out of grad. Like I was able to pay 20,000 while I was in grad school, and then the rest of it, I ended up with like 30,000 something that I had to pay. So yeah, like in the grand scheme, not like
It's
my.
not huge. And you're also getting your company is also paying towards it. So, will it save you money if you do the public loan service forgiveness program? Yes.
But it might just
Will it, but
other
it,
investment.
but if we can, yeah. So, I actually think your biggest cost saving is getting rid of the term, the whole life insurance and just
Okay.
having term, because that'll save us like 175, give or take,
Okay.
right there. So, like, there's where we could save, like, that's the definitive savings. And I think I like that better than the public loan forgiveness without knowing the firm numbers, without knowing what would you pay and what the accountant thinks. I would run it by the accountant because then you're going to be married filing separate for 10 years.
Okay. So that would be a lot.
That's a long time to be married filing separate. And that's why I would ask the accountant. And I do think that sometimes there are a lot of benefits to be married. And I think this one's a trickier one because you basically have to be single for 10. You have to like go back to the single, right? Married filing separate is more comparable to a single filing on married filing. So if your husband owns a construction business, he might say like in the next 10 years, like we could really be paying a lot more in tax as a household to save you 200 a month, right? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So I think we need, and because the thing is, if you're going to go down the public loan forgiveness, I think you need to commit to the 10 years because otherwise you're going to, because you're not going to be paying interest on, you're not going to be servicing it. And so if you decide after 5 years his business is doing well and you want to be married filing joint, you're going to owe on that
Okay.
loan because it's going to have grown.
Okay. So yeah, I might as well just keep paying it and.
Yeah, I think it's a little more of a conversation with your husband and the accountant and just say, like, where do you think your business is going to be? Like, do you think it's worth saving 2,000-ish a year, which it could be 2,500 a year? Or are you going to end up paying as a household another 2,500 in taxes because of the separation, right? Because of the filing. And then you can't do a Roth.
Okay.
So, and if he says, well, for my business, I think my income will keep growing. So then maybe this year maybe it makes sense for 3 years, but if he has targets for his business and then he's getting slammed on taxes because you're married filing separate, maybe he'd be better off giving you the extra 2,000 for the loan because he's saving four on taxes. Do you see what I'm saying?
That makes sense.
So I think as a household, you need to talk to the accountant and run the numbers on married filing separate versus married filing joint. And then where does he see that business going? Because
Okay.
like, as you know, you're going to make another 10,000. It's more variable, but my usually with the business, you want to grow it. If we
Yeah.
just,
That
you
would
have
be
a
the goal.
target
You'd
where
make
you,
a loan to grow it, you know.
right. Yeah. The goal. Yeah. So then I would say like, where is the, you want to kind of, even though you'd be doing this married filing separate, you want to see where the overall, you don't want to be penny wise, pound foolish is what I would say.
Okay.
So maybe it's saving you $2,000 today, but maybe it's costing you four or five in the future.
Okay.
And then you go back to married filing joint in 5 years. And now you owe, we'll
I'm
just say that
staring.
you never made a, yeah, you owe more than 27 because now it grew to 30 because you were only paying a minimal amount on it.
Okay. Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So I think your clear cut biggest savings with the budget is getting rid of whole life and using term instead. Okay. I don't know if you can convert the policy to term or you just need to go somewhere else, but that would save you.
I guess my biggest thing is because I feel like I can go in passionately about something I know a lot about, but I don't know enough to be like, this is why boom, 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 because then their rebuttal back is like, well, then you have this and you can use this as like a loan for yourself if you want to get some, like,
Here's what you say. I don't want a loan. I want a Roth IRA. I want to take the money I'm spending and I want to use it for my Roth IRA. That's what you can say. And that is what I would say. So you're doing $100 a month towards your Roth. We could up that from the difference for having a term policy versus having a whole life. So you could get closer to, you could easily go to $200 a month in the Roth IRA because you could use $100 that you're going to save on the insurance. So then budget wise, we're assuming the accountant is going to say married, filing, joint is in your best interest with your husband's business goals. We're going to assume that. We'll just make an assumption. And so we're going to keep the student loans as is because you're going to be done in about 6 years on that.
Okay.
And you could even say your husband, you could cut a deal. Everyone does their, so just so all listeners, everyone does their finances different. You do not have to combine them. We see all sorts of things, but you could even say to your husband, if we're going to save money on taxes, some of that could be rebated to you because you're going to be paying definitively more in student loan payments by being married, filing joint. And so if you're saving, if the accountant says by married filing separate, it's going to cost you guys $2,500 more in taxes, then you should get some of that towards, right? Like as a rebate, if you were going to try to make it more equitable or something, you could figure it out, but your biggest savings, I think, is getting rid of the whole life and using that money that you're going to save towards your Roth. And so then let's say we get your Roth IRA up to, because really you should save ideally at least, let's just say $150 a month by having term versus whole life. And you're already doing $100 in your Roth. So now we get to $250 in your Roth.
Okay.
Great. We don't have whole life. We now have term. Now we're doing $250 a month into your whole life or your whole life from your whole life into your Roth. We're going to keep up with your work benefits because you've saved a ton in a year. So we'll keep that up. So then it really comes down to like, how do we address the credit card? And I think that all of the money you make on your side hustle, the majority of that credit card. So if you're going to work your 3 days off and make $600, goes right to your credit card. Because you could really have that done just with working the next 10 months if you're making $600 extra a month.
Yeah.
And you were saying you're making $600 in 3 days. So
yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's great for my mental health, but yeah, it's just, you know, put my head down.
So even if you said for 10 months, I'm going to work one time every 10 months, like every month, I'm going to work 3 days in a row and make the $600. And that just goes towards the credit cards.
Yes.
And then once you're done with that, that's fine.
Yeah.
Then you could focus on your studying because then you'll make another $10,000 and then that money goes right in your pay. You're already doing enough for retirement.
Yeah.
Then you've paid off the credit card debt. You've taken that next exam. You get a $10,000 raise. It goes, that's gravy.
Cool. All right. Well, I'll look into the term because I was like, someone's bamboozling me and I know this and I need to figure this out. And yes.
Yeah, I think your biggest savings long-term is going to be getting rid of the whole life and using term and putting the difference in your Roth IRA. We're just going to assume that's a Roth IRA if you've had it since you're 18. Continuing with your work benefits because you have great benefits. And then I would think it's worth it to sit down with an accountant to go over married filing separate versus married filing joint. But I would think given the amount that you have in student loans, $4,000, you said.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're kind of better off biting the bullet and being done with it because I do think it'll end up costing you more married filing separate over the next 10 years as a household.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that just needs to be a conversation with your husband and the CPA.
Okay. That makes sense.
Does that make sense?
That makes sense.
Do you have any other questions?
Not at this moment. I mean, I have a lot of notes all over the place right now. So I might after at some point, but yeah. I don't think so at the moment.
Well, Megan, thanks for coming on. You brought up some really good points. One, the whole life, because when you do, we did a whole segment on this with like the whole life. When I had Lindsay Stanberry on, we had a lot of women that had whole life, but you can, I think you're bet my personal opinion is you're better off having term insurance and investing the difference. But then you also
I
brought
also
up
got
how
flared up because the guy goes, well, that guy might not know what he's talking about. And I said, well, it was actually a female that was talking about it on her podcast. And
thank you.
Mic drop.
And does that gentleman have a certified financial planning designation?
I don't think so.
Hopefully.
It's, yes, they have. I forgot what they have exactly. They told me to, and I was like, okay, well, I disregard everything after that comment.
Because women can know finance too, obviously. Yeah. And I also think it's good to give the benefit of the doubt that the person isn't necessarily trying to bamboozle you. But I do think it's very clear that you could say your priority is to fund your Roth and nothing else.
Okay.
And so I think it's clear that I don't believe a whole life insurance policy is your best use of your funds at this stage of your life.
And is it something that is like better at a different stage in life, or how does that all go? Because then like, then they brought
yeah.
in like, well, a lot of really wealthy people use whole life.
They do. A lot of really wealthy people. So I would say, here's what I would say.
Yeah.
I would say if your income was over $1 million a year that you were bringing yeah. in, and you had maxed out the 457, the 403B, your 401A, your pre-tax transportation. At that stage of income, you maybe would have some deferred compensation options at work, like RSUs or stock options.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd taken advantage of those. And we had used every other vehicle known to man. And then you still had extra money. We could say maybe then you would want to use a universal policy.
Okay.
But I do think at your current income level, your best options are using your workplace plan with a combination of a Roth IRA, because you've been doing that for a long time already. So we can keep that, keep funding that.
Okay.
And then paying off the student loans. I don't know if maybe the gentleman doesn't have a clear picture, but you have a lot of financial things we're trying to do. And so whole life is not your most efficient.
Okay. I like that vocabulary, because I think that's it of like, I would love to go back to this at some point and I get the like mm-hmm. benefit of
yeah.
it. But right now, like, I want to be able to like go to this bachelorette party and buy a round of drinks and not be like, am I going to go into mm-hmm. financial ruins? But I can also pay these other things and save money. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
We just have a lot that we need the dollars to be efficient, and whole life is not your most efficient investment. And I am a firm believer it's not an investment, it's a life insurance policy.
Okay.
But I bet you if you look him up, he probably doesn't have a financial planning designation. He's probably just more insurance. And so they very much believe that this is a good retirement option. And I very much believe it's not.
Okay.
I agree that in a certain income level, it could make sense, but we're not there. If you okay. want to, if you come back on the show and you tell me the hospital is paying you $1.5 million, yes.
Maybe
then. Yeah. But for right now, you're making a good income, but we want to make sure that we're being as efficient as possible. And we have student loans, credit card, mortgage, retirement savings, and you have bachelorette parties you want to go to. You know, we just need to make the dollars go as far. And I will say the one caveat, because I don't want to get any crap for this online, is the public loan forgiveness, I think, needs to be more of a factor as a household and with the CPA. But without having the CPA's information, I would err on the side that I think you're probably better off married filing joint and okay. paying that off sooner. But the caveat with that I will give is like, I would let the numbers drive the decision. And I think that needs to be a household decision because you need to commit to 10 years.
Okay.
And that might be a good idea for the first five. But then maybe if your husband's business starts doing and his take home goes to 150, it might not be in the household's best interest. So I think that has to be a larger conversation.
Okay.
But I'm very firm that whole life is not your best option.
Okay, that makes sense. That helps give more backing.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, we want to be able to buy drinks at a bachelorette party and put more money in the Roth. And there's no way the whole life can achieve that.
No. Okay.
Well, Megan, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Yes, of course.
For all of our lovely listeners, you can find our most up-to-date information on our website, www.futurerichpodcast.com. And we are now posting all of our podcasts on YouTube. And then you can follow along on Instagram and TikTok. And if you like the show, please share it with a friend. Ta-da! time for our disclaimer. The opinions voiced in this podcast are for general information only and not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. All performance references are historical and do not guarantee future results. Make sure that you consult with your own legal, tax, and/or financial advisor before making any decisions.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.